So, the first group that we have is capacity development, Linda and David. You want to take the floor and stand up and share and describe what you see as being the focus of this particular group.
Walk over here to the front, so
okay.
I don't have my back turned to anyone.
There you go.
Oh, good morning. I'm David Wing. My role here in the district is professional development, and co-chair is Linda Palace, and she is administrator for K-12 academic services. And basically, as we were looking at this, originally we started out with a goal of everyone in the district having a goal in each of the four areas. And although the parents may not have seen this yet, it's a document that just lists the strategic plan, the mission, vision, and values. And then under that, there are the four strategic areas. And in the discussions over the last couple of years, it kind of has emerged that what we would like is for everyone to be able to have a goal in each of those areas that would move them closer to the strategic vision, and also if they're a principal, their school, or if they're a department head, their department, deeper into the strategic areas and the strategic goals. So the committee started out with this idea of how can we put together a timeline so that everybody in the district eventually, before the year 2014-16, is able to really set meaningful goals in each of these areas for themselves. And as we thought about what that would entail, we got into the thinking that, well, you know, people can just write down goals and put it on the shelf. So basically, as it turns out, what the committee's task ended up being is not just the goals, but how can we put together a process so that all of the sites and all of the groups can look at the benchmarks more deeply and ask themselves, where are we right now in relation to these benchmarks? And where would we like to be? And what's the ideal? And then they would be in a position to put together a goal, a meaningful personal goal statement, a meaningful school goal statement, department statement, or whatever. So it's not just a matter of putting the goal on the paper, but it's going through the process of delving into the benchmarks on a deep enough level so that you understand them and can say, this is where I am, this is where my school wants to be, now we can set a goal so that everyone is meaningfully moving toward a goal in that area. So the end result will still be the goal statements, but only after a process of, and the committee then will be in charge of the timeline and the process and the goal statements. Do you have any questions? Okay.
Anything to add, Linda?
No, just that we're, you know, Todd had made a comment that the strategic plan is taking us from where we're at now, and then over the next 10 years, is what we're talking about, getting from 06 to 16. That really is old, David. And getting us to a place where, what are we doing now that is good, and how are we getting to this place called excellence with respect to the benchmarks that are attached to that. So ours is a timeline, but it's a timeline that will require a lot of capacity development. It's under that category because it will require a lot of professional development, but capacity development for community, our teachers, our students, the whole ball of wax.
Once people begin to engage in deep conversation about the benchmarks and look at how we compare our practice to that, and people will have a better understanding of why we're talking about a 10-year process, because it's very, very involved, very deep. It goes to the root of the conversation when we talk about everything is part of everything, everything touches everything else. One part is acted upon, other things react. And so it's important people have that understanding. Community connectedness, we have Eric Gundrum and Valerie Larison, if you share your thoughts and ideas on what this project group may involve.
Morning, everyone. First of all, I don't think that Valerie and I are going to be a compatible team, Tom.
I figured that would be
the case. We met yesterday, and I thought she was going to come up here this morning, and she thought I was, so we need a change. So we'll work through that, okay? Just kidding. We did meet yesterday. Valerie and I did, and
I figured you'd probably meet all night, actually, and not stop.
Before I start talking about that, I think that it's crucial that when I spoke to Tom about chairing this committee and spoke to Linda and some other people about the work that we're doing, that if we're really going to make this meaningful, we have to start with this meeting here and start making plans for this fall so that the principals and the teachers really know that this is what we're about and that the goal setting process that we have this fall is this, is something tied to this, directly connected to this. If we're doing any goal setting this fall, it's not directly connected to this, then we're wasting our time. I mean, that's how I feel about it, because it has to be one thing. We've been through this whole process with North Central, we've been through it with other things. The Western States Benchmarking is a structure and a rubric for growth that's excellent. But just because we say we have it or we have a book about it does not mean we're doing it. And I think Dr. Tom has done a great job of starting the train running on the track. And as he keeps saying, it's a slow process. But we need to make sure we're engaged in the process and running on the track and not leaving some schools off the track. And I know with North Central, we left a lot of schools off the track. And all of a sudden, the whole train fell off the track and we weren't sure where we were going anymore. So we need to, I think, one of the things as a whole committee, I hope that we don't lose sight of is, and it's getting close, goal setting for next fall is coming now. And at our level, we're discussing what are we going to do in the fall to help principals goal set. Well, it better be this type of discussion. If it's not, then I think we're spinning our wheels and not in the right direction. But anyways, enough of that philosophical talk. Under community connectedness, Valerie and I had a good talk yesterday, and I was surprised, Tom. She and I do have some thoughts.
Yeah, I figured.
Comments. But we have two things under our committee that we really think that we're charged with. One is setting up some system for sharing information. And I'm going to rely on Valerie a lot. Certainly we're going to use electronic means in some ways, but our committee is going to be charged with establishing ways and communicating ways with everyone involved, parents, community, teachers, students, council people, board members. What are we doing on the strategic plan and keep it visible in front of people as often as we can? So that's a big charge. There's many avenues, many venues we can put things out on, many ways we can communicate in written form, verbally, electronically, and we've had a lot of good discussion. That's one thing that we want to have our committee involved with. How can we do this? But somehow, this system of communication we have to have available, and we want to try to assure that people are using it. Again, as Larry will tell you, you know, the portal is great, but it's only as great as those that are using the portal. And so we can set up all these systems to share information, but if nobody ever goes to them, we're not really communicating. So that will be one of our largest pieces of work, is sharing information on how we're progressing, and especially sharing the strengths, the things that all schools have going already. And they may not even know they have going already, that it connects directly to the rubric and moving from the emergent stage to the exemplary stage. And we want to help them identify those things and get them out to everybody else in the field so that they can duplicate them or steal the good ideas and then implement them at their schools. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is, I think even a little larger challenge, because I think this term, and we may want to change the term, Dr. Tom, but benchmark review teams. right away that first thing that comes to our mind is accountability. Well, that's important. We need accountability. But we don't want it to be a threatening type of accountability. So that's something our team is going to be charged with, how to present these review teams, who will sit on the review teams, how will it look, what will we be looking for, how often will they visit, what will they do with the information, those types of things. And Valerie yesterday had some great ideas on some things we feel we already have in place. One of the examples was the K-3 audit and the teams that come to your schools, that we might be able to use some of their work and those people, and if this is connected well, not establish another audit. Use it and just connect it more tightly with the rubrics and the Western State Peoria benchmark. So those are the two things we're going to be charged with. We're excited about it. It's a lot of work, but we're ready to tackle it. So if there's any questions, I'll take them. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Eric. All right. The next group is Student Learning Portfolio Development, Bob Kegel and Valerie Nash. Kristen Phelps will be working with that group too. Kristen is out of town today.
Valerie and Kristen and I will be working on the student learning, the electronic portfolio. We haven't really had time to actually sit down and talk a lot about it, but some ideas that have been thrown around. The electronic portfolio, if you look at the strategic plan and you have the four areas, and Eric and David have really done a nice job of explaining their committees, but these four areas, this piece of paper really is meaningless unless it becomes your own. And this has on here Dr. Jecker, and each person, our goal is to have each student, each employee have their name on it with their goal in student learning, capacity development, community connectedness, and data-driven decision making. And it has to become aligned. If you will think for a minute back to, you know, when you look at kindergarten students, or if you can think back that far to when you were in kindergarten, and think about maybe that first sentence. When I see kids write that first sentence in kindergarten, the amazing, the excitement, that first couple words that they've read, the first story, the first book that they read, and then speed up to eighth grade when they're doing expository writing, narratives, and they're doing research. If you could take that and put it in to a portfolio, electronic portfolio, so when that mom and dad have gone through kindergarten through eighth grade and on to high school, and that student can look back and say, look what I did in kindergarten. Here's my writing. Here's what I did in eighth grade. Now here's what I'm doing in my literature classes in high school. And that portfolio is that student's link to all the student learning, their capacity development, all that becomes theirs in a click of a button in a CD. It's an educational portfolio. It could have, in high school, you could have your career goals. There's so many opportunities that this will, in my mind, in 10, 12 years, become obsolete. And we'll have kids with their own portfolio on a DVD that can go back from kindergarten all the way through 12th grade. If we switch schools, Bob Kegel's in fourth grade and I go to a different school in Peoria, I still take my portfolio with me. How powerful would it be for a teacher to be able to say, wow, that's what this child has done since fourth grade in Peoria. I know where to start now. I know where to work with this student. The parents, the connectedness with the parents, and the parents helping set those goals. Employees having portfolios of their goals. Year after year, I do goals. I'll set my goals, and we go through the process. I'll sit down with the K-12 administrator, and we go through the goals. What did you accomplish? Yes, that's great. Put it on the shelf, go to the next year. Here's 2006, 2007, let's write your goals, that's great. Let's put it on the shelf. Can you imagine if we could connect all those goals year after year? So I can see back 7, 8 years ago when I first became an administrator, a principal, to where I am at now. I think there's a lot of opportunity that exists in developing those electronic portfolios. Questions? Okay.
Thank you, Bob.
And Valerie. The fourth group that we have is data-driven decision-making, monitor implementation. Connie Whitty. Nan Gillespie is co-chair of this group, and Nan is out of town this morning, so Connie's taking it.
Well, I have to say that what was read at the beginning really exemplifies the process we've gone through of having meaningful discussions, things evolving over time, listening, truly listening to what other people are saying without formulating a response ready to give back. That's truly what the meetings we've had with Dr. McKenzie over at the PTC Center have been all about. And as those discussions have developed and evolved, each of the groups' thoughts of what we were going to be charged to do have changed and evolved, which leads me to share with you that our particular group, the data-driven decision-making, is yet to be. There really isn't a firm direction that this particular group, Nan and I talked yesterday for some time about we have to kind of wait and see and be good listeners to what the other three groups are putting together. Because we want to take a look, and when we started talking about, well, how do I know as an individual within Peoria School District, how do I know what my growth is, where I've been, where I am with regard to the benchmarks? And if I have the portfolio, certainly that's going to tell a story. If I look at the development I've made in my growth and understanding, the capacity piece, every time I hear the word capacity, I think, fill it up. You know, what is my capacity? How much more can I expand out? And that's where that particular group will continue to stretch us and help us to grow. And then if we look at, you know, sharing the information out, our particular group, as Nan and I kind of picture it, is a group that has to sit, think, talk, but wait patiently to see how other things evolve, because what we hope to do is be able to then capture everything that's happening and kind of know where each department, group, school, person is on that timeline to reach in the year 2016. Where are we? Where can we say we are? And so we have to use the data. We don't know what the data is yet because it's just not test scores. It's going to be what each of the other groups kind of puts together. What we talked a little bit about, and as I started to think in a visionary way, because that's truly what we're going to be charged to do, how are we going to put this all out, capture it, and present it to the board? That's what our group will be doing, is taking that all in, figuring out a way that won't overwhelm, but also not miss some vital information when we kind of say, as a district, on the timeline, here's where we are right now. Here's where we will, here is where we hope to go by next year, and so on. We talked about you could walk through the halls and have you know, examples of where we are and what's happening, and you can kind of look and say, okay, here's where we were last year. Now, as a collective group, it has to be a tangible experience. That's why when Bob talks about passionately about the portfolio system, electronic, that's tangible. When we think about what some of our eighth grade students produce at the end of the year with their integrated multimedia productions, would that be part of the eighth grade promotion? That part of what they have to do is present. Here I am as a student, 9 years in an elementary school. Here I am, ready to move on to high school. Would that be something that this group then says, yes, each eighth grader will have to have this presentation, and then we will say, our students, after 9 years, we can say they are at which level with the benchmarks with regard to student achievement. So this group, wow, when we get together today, we're really going to have to reflect and think that our work will start as soon as everything else kind of starts up and begins. And we can't feel awkward about it. We have to understand that it is a process. But again, we look to what will be happening, and then we have to figure out a way to chart the progress in a meaningful way and present it to the school board, to maybe Peoria City Council, to the city of Glendale, maybe even to our representatives, House of Representatives, whoever our audience might be, so we can say to them as a district, this is where we are today, and this is where we hope to be by 2016. So I absolutely do not have the answers, but hopefully today when we get together, we will have some great ideas to share and reflect out. Any questions?
Okay. Thank you, Connie. You could hear in each of the presentations the idea that nothing is set in stone. Eric said review teams might not be the best term. He's right, change it. What appears to be appropriate to get to the message across. You also heard some specifics, some ideas, a vision. Nothing happens without a vision. And the vision, in this case, has to do with the future of this community, with each of the children, and all of the people involved in the community. Because the fun and the excitement is in the building and the creating and making things better for people who come later. A lot of things to think about. Dr. Earp came in. I know he can be here a little of the time, perhaps not at all. Jack, do you want to make any comments at all? Any thoughts?
I want to blow your process up. I wrote a few notes just real quickly, not knowing what we were...
Yeah, I figured he always has these little notes. It won't blow the process. What we're going to do is Jack will make his comments, then we'll take about a 10-minute break, and we're a little ahead of schedule, which is good. Be thinking about which project team you want to work on. We want to have a couple, two or three join each one. Then when we come back from the break, we'll meet in those project teams and take about 90 minutes to work there. So,
okay, before I make a comment, kind of putting two people on the spot, but Karen, share what you've heard so far, and then Mary, you'll be next. Doesn't have to be too long. Just share a point or two of something you heard today.
Something new I heard? Well, I was thinking, I didn't realize as I was, that they kind of all tie in together more than I anticipated. They originally looked like they were all very different, and as I was listening, it sounds like there's actually more, you know, there's community connectedness, and yet there's also, in the student, everything seems to be connecting in, to each other and to the community, so.
Okay.
I didn't decide what committee to be on because I wanted to hear what the leaders were saying and how they felt it needed to be. And what I really like the idea is that everybody has to work together. Although they're in the other groups, everybody has to communicate in order for this to be successful. And after listening to everyone, every job or every committee is as important as the other one because it has to all link together in order for it to be successful.
Okay. I wrote a couple notes back there, and I walked in when I think Eric came up and Bob followed. I wrote a couple of things down about change and the process of change. Tom's numerous times said that this is a slow process, and one of the reasons you select people to work in positions here because they come with a different perspective. If I was to see Eric for the first time and hear what he said, I could interpret it real easily. The principals better have this done tomorrow. okay? Because he said, unless we tie it all together, unless we're ready to tell the building principals this is where we're going, then we're not going to make enough progress. Well, that's good that he has that direction and that vision and that enthusiasm. Bob used the word meaningless when he was talking about if we don't move this forward and we don't develop our portfolios with kids, maybe their work won't be valued as much. Then another one mentioned technology and the use of the benchmarks. I was sitting there and saying, well, if we don't somewhere down the road get a capital override or have funding for technology, we won't be able to do a lot of things that we really do want to do. We might be able to do a DVD portfolio here, but what about the thousands of kids that are come from other districts and we don't have any background on them? Where do we start with them? I wrote down these pieces. If you think where we were a year ago, and this August it'll be 2 years, if you compare us to the other seven and you were able to go to the meeting with the other six school systems, we are light years ahead of them with using the four areas. I presented to all the city of Peoria leaders last week. I didn't know I was walking into that type of presentation. I thought I was going to talk to a few department chairs at their weekly leadership piece. We went through our mission, vision, and value statements, and we gave them and reviewed with them the four strategic areas and said, that's our focus. That's what we're looking at. And that ties back into what was stated today. If we're going to ingrain those in our system and institutionalize them. I don't know how far we'll get with the legislature. I don't know how far we'll get with the state of Arizona. If you come to the board meeting tonight, their ASBA agenda, they develop it with ASBA one way, and then we developed it the second way, and we put our four benchmarks in there. So tonight they'll be able to say student learning, community connectedness, data-driven decision-making, and capacity development. I don't know which way they want to go with taking the ASBA goals and then giving it to the school board association, but it's another avenue that when they go down there, if it's Mrs. Rader or whoever it is, they can talk about those are our four strategic areas and that's what we focus on. Nan's not here today. She's at the literacy meeting with the benchmarking consortium, and she wrote a two-page letter to David Livingston, the executive director, and basically said, here's what needs to still go in the literacy frameworks that aren't in there. I don't want Peoria to get credit for it because it seems like Peoria is the one that's bringing these things to you, and there's resentment building within our group. So David Livingston, you take this and you find a way within our seven systems to help them see that we need to integrate current technical education in the benchmarks. I don't remember the other one right off the top. I don't know if you saw the letter. But they were great additions to the framework that the superintendents have asked for, that students will be able to possess when they leave a K-12 system. I wrote another one down here. Kevin Molina has done presentations on our Friday meeting, and he uses the four benchmarks when he's doing the presentations. The web portal. We have it on our web portal. Technology, as Collins would say, is not a save-all. It's just one of those pieces that are integrated into it, a plan. I think this, when Tom and I went to and became part of the meetings with the superintendents, I think it's a great opportunity to build capacity, not with just in our system. These four could work in a business. The only difference is I'm not sure they would say student learning, but they need to make connections in the community or they won't sell their product. The city of Peoria, the only piece they wouldn't use is student achievement. But they have to connect with their community, they have to develop their leaders within their organization, and they have to use data. So these are four main points as you look at the strategic plan. Each of these areas are important, but change does take time, and we won't be able to do it immediately. That's why Tom keeps saying, OK, okay, it's going to take us a little bit longer and a little bit longer. It's great that we have others like Eric and Bob and those that are here that are energetic and say we need to do it tomorrow. And in some places we will be able to do it tomorrow. In some areas we will be able to do it tomorrow. But we're a large organization and change doesn't happen immediately. It's like I think Connie said, it starts with the board a little bit. How's the board going to accept it? Are the board going to start using the terminology all the time when they talk about it? And I think eventually we'll get there, step by step. But it's the educational process, it's integrating them into our system. And I used that in a story when I visited a school. And I asked the teachers there, can you tell me the four benchmarking areas? If I would have asked the question differently, they probably could have given me the four. But they had a difficult time, and then afterwards the principal said, well, if you would have asked it a little different, they would have all known the four strategic areas. So that's what we got to ingrain within our system. The note that you'll get today on employee update, with 172 employees that are leaving, we will have hired 1,000 new teachers in the last 4 years. That's half of our teaching staff. And for them to institutionalize these four benchmarks immediately or within a 3 to 4 year period when we've only been doing this about 2 years, it's going to take us time to do that. And this is the group that we're going to, Tom's going to work with to move that forward. So I appreciate you volunteering or being picked for this committee. You got a lot of good thinkers here. But I want you to think globally because you're representing everyone in Peoria. You're not just representing an individual school. You might see things differently in your individual school or your setting or within your community and how things might move forward. Share that with this group because we need to know the community piece of it and how we can ingrain it within the community, how we can get it out to the media and ingrain it within the media so they see how we're using those things. So I see it as an exciting opportunity to move a framework forward that will remain for a while. Tom's retired twice. None of us will be here for a long period of time, but I see the four pieces of the framework lasting a long time. And this is a part of a legacy that he can leave or we can leave with those, as was stated here, will carry on for many years ahead. Because those four fit almost anything we're doing. And I think they're pretty powerful, and we haven't even started getting into the guiding questions and the impact questions and the evidence piece. And I think that's where the real thought is, and that's where the real value of the benchmarking consortium is asking those important questions and saying, how are we doing with student learning? What are we really doing for the whole child? Are we really focusing on every student every day, preparing them for tomorrow? Knowing that we have to deal with all those peripheral things on the outside, Steve Savoy's not here today, but he has to hold in the next 2 days three long-term suspension on hearings on students that are seniors that are graduating that have met all the requirements, but they violated our appropriate use policy. That's every student every day prepared to meet tomorrow. Those kids made some strategic decisions and errors that could affect them for the rest of their life. So how are we going to react to that in holding the hearings, and how are we going to leave an imprint on those kids that won't scar them for life? And so as you work in this capacity, know that those things are out there. We're going to have to deal with them. Tom's been in administration for 30, 40 years, and we need to continue to move forward with all of those issues that are out there. Hiring teachers, fixing our budget, paying our teachers a salary increase. But I think if we can stay focused on kids every day, preparing them for the future, and these four benchmarks, I think we'll make great progress. And I'm excited about you volunteering and working with Tom and the committee and those that will be volunteering to work with you. So with that, those are the pieces.
Thank you.
Jeff, I have a question real quick. Can you help me understand, some districts you refer to are a lot slower in the process than what we've been. Why is that? Are they taking more steps in the process? Are they I know it seems to me that we've been, it's been about at least 2 years that we've been looking at this and going through the process and meeting last summer we met. What's the difference between the districts that are going at a slower pace and what we're doing?
And I'll let Tom do it. Yeah. Here's my piece. Every school system has unique culture and has unique spokes that are in the wheel that make it move forward. Each of the governing boards are different. Ours right now is different than it used to be. In November, it could be even more different than it used to be. That will change and make a process move faster or slower. A couple of districts have changed superintendents. That will change and slow a process moving forward. We have two organizations that are for the certified. We have two classified organizations. We are the largest in Arizona that doesn't have one union that's representing everybody and saying, either do it this way or no way. That's a major factor. Our building principals and our professional development and our university that we have for professional development, I believe, is different than what they do in others. Bringing and collaborating with the administrators as a group in your planning process is different than others. I think our reporting accountability system is different than other systems. We have great people that we've hired that participate with us. Our community is really supportive. I think Tom and I found it kind of shocking when we did some of these presentations and Poway's superintendent came to us and said, we buried them in our system. We haven't even used the benchmarks. So whatever culturally in their system that they didn't feel comfortable coming back, those are five or six right there that are factors within an organization of why they haven't come back and done what we have as an organization and shared them with the governing board and brought our teams together. I can't answer specifically for them, but I can tell you in Washington, they're pretty unionized. You have to get permission to do something sometimes in their school systems because when you come to work for them, you have to sign and pay the dues and become part of the union up there. So I think those are some that I perceive that have affected us to make us move forward. Plus, we found a framework that fits into everything we're doing. And it's been pretty easy to integrate, and this hasn't been a shock. What's data mean to us? Ed Sloan's been pushing data for years. Training, we've been doing it for years. We're just calling it capacity development. If you were sitting here, remember the struggle we had when Tom had the meeting and a board member said, I hate capacity development, what's that? That board member went to a national convention and at the national convention they heard capacity development, she came back and said, I give up, Tom, you were right. Okay, because she didn't like that word from professional development. We're still struggling back and forth with capacity and professional development until it gets totally ingrained. Student learning, we've always been focused on it. And we've always tried to make a connection with the community, even though we're having more challenges now than we've had in the past. But we're trying to continue to connect and have them participate with us. So those are some that I would see. Tom can share a few that he might see.
I would agree with everything that Jack said. I would resisting the Poway superintendent. And another statement said to us, we've kept it a secret. We don't want people to know about it, the consortium and the benchmarks. And so I believe two things. The districts, these districts were engaged in putting together the benchmarks. The work is powerful. And I think that they, with the possible exception of Plano, although we're now moving past where they were, where they are, they said they're in the mindset of the world. Oh, we did this task. It's done. Put it over here. Bob said it, or someone said it earlier. Put it on the shelf. That's done. We're through. We've got it. And, of course, they didn't. The other piece is the culture that Jack talked about and the willingness of people here to look deeply at what they're doing. I think people, leaders in the other districts, are afraid of the benchmark. because they're powerful and done right, which is thoughtful over a period of time, bringing people along, not slowing people down who want to go a little bit faster, making sure they're okay with it, but thinking deeply about the meaning of education. It's hard work. And I think they've just stayed away from it. That's why when I made the remarks earlier, which Dr. Jack wasn't here then, but he has heard me say this before, there aren't half a dozen districts in the country who would try this, and this may be the only district that I think can achieve at the level that we believe is important. So.
Let me just add one that kind of ties in with what Eric said. I find an interesting piece is we didn't go through the struggles in coming up with the impact questions and the guiding questions that evidence by. To me, that is outstanding work. It was hard work. They argued about it. And then I find a little bit appalling that they're not using it. It goes back to what Eric said. We need to ingrain this. We need to use it. We need to get it forward. We need to know and let our principals know where we're going with it. And we try to take incremental pieces. This year with your goal reviews, you took an impact question and you reported on it. We're starting to move that way where it won't be threatening. But they spend so much time and energy arguing with the five or six systems, and now to have that document just sit there and not use it as part of a evaluation system or a part of a reporting out system, when if you go to the impact and the guided questions that are there and evidence and you read the evidence, that's how you know that you're actually performing. We look at our AIMS evidence because our kids are taking the state exam, and it confronts us right in our face of how well we're doing. And I don't know why they would not want to use it, because it ties in directly with what we're doing. So I guess that's what I find interesting in the consortium spending thousands and thousands of dollars. We're benefiting from it now that they put into the system, and they're not even charging anyone to make money back to promote this nationwide because they did it with public money. And they think, you know what, everybody should have it. So every time we've done a presentation, we've said, go to the website, you can print it, you can have it, you can use it, you can integrate it. And if I left here and went to a smaller system, it'd be so much easier. Because we're large. And we're doing, to me, a tremendous job of how large we are moving our strategic plan forward. And the other piece I think that's the thing, we're right at the right time to start our strategic plan and our mission, vision, and value, and the four, it all ties into everything that we're doing. If we had just finished our strategic plan, and we were in the second year, I think we would have been reluctant to do anything because we spent all that time just getting done with the strategic plan, so it came to the right time again. So that's another, I think, advantage to us here.
Time, right.
I think embarking on right now is a project.
And sometimes we get involved in projects and we let them run away from us, and we don't have a system to document what we're doing, how we're doing it, when we're doing it, who's doing it, and that type of thing. My suggestion to the group is to at least consider, as we start in our four teams today, to use the format, the structure that David Wing presented to us. I think as I looked at the teams originally, I know we're missing a few people today, there was at least one person trained in project management on each team. Now, I know we're missing Kristen and Nan today, so, but it's not, the system is not that difficult. It's a structure, and I think that if we all were amenable to maybe using it, what it would give us is a consistent vehicle that if you're on one team, you could look at another team and know what they're doing by looking at the structure, who's doing what, when, and what their ideas are. So we're passing that around. Maybe we could spend, with Tom's permission, a few minutes at each table looking at the structure, and maybe Mr. Wing could help us. He's the expert on this, not me. But if we agree that this would be the structure to use, I think it might help us in staying consistent. So that's my suggestion if we want to look at it. So maybe, Mr. Wing, you want to add something, David? Because you're...
I'll make more
go ahead.
I guess this is the first time I've done project management training, and like 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes. It usually takes a lot longer than that. But you know what? Everybody in this room are project managers, and so you're pretty good at it, or you wouldn't be in the positions that you're in. Because what a project is it's just, you get a vision of what your project is, what it's going to be, when it's going to be, where it's going to be. And if you look at the information that was just handed out to, I think, each of the tables, did each of you get one of those? The vision statement is just to clarify what you're going to be doing, where and by when. And that'll kind of put a focus on it. And then the desired results are the deliverables. What is it that we can pick up as a package and to deliver to somebody? For example, in our committee, I know that there's going to be a process that we can offer to principals, and we will come up with this process, and it'll be written down. And so one of the desired results of our committee is going to be that written process document. You want the things that are actually coming out of your committee that you're going to present at some future time. Now what you may want to do is do the messiness first before you get to this, because you may not know yet what kind of product or what kind of process you want to go through. So you may want to discuss your project, and like the statement that Tom read from Margaret Wheatley, you know, things get messy. You want to hear from everybody. You want to get things out on the table. You might want to do a considerable bit of that before you actually pick up the document and then say, well, what exactly is it that we're going to deliver? What will be the results that come out of this committee? But one of them might be, ours is going to be a timeline, and it's going to be a process. That's pretty much in the charge that our committee has, so we know that those are at least two of the deliverables. And then when you go down to number three, what you do is ask yourself, is the project vision statement, does it follow the SMART criteria? Is it specific? Is it measurable? Is it achievable? Is it relevant? Is it time dimensioned? Because a lot of times we can get through these projects and they can go on and on and on forever and ever, and you just never have a sense of, well, what are we responsible for, to whom and when? The second thing, that after you get those deliverables, you can kind of, the second page is an approval page, but you know, that's not relevant here. The third page is a stakeholder interview page. You do not need to use that because that's irrelevant. But I want you to go to the last page, and this is the project task sheet. At some point, you're going to have to look at your project and say, all right, now we've decided where we're going off into the future. What are the tasks? Who's going to be responsible for them, and when are we going to do them? So it's who, what, and when. Now these things are kind of almost intuitive for some of us, and yet they're not intuitive for groups working together. To me, that's kind of an anomaly, because what we would do as an individual sometime in planning out our day, we don't always do when we get together in groups. So somebody has to kind of keep it moving forward. At some point you're going to have to say, what are all the tasks that are involved in this group? Who's going to be responsible for them? And when are they going to be done by? And that's kind of the quick and dirty on project management. But somebody, at least one person at your table, should have had that training and kind of helped that process move forward. It should take second place to the kind of rich discussions that you have first, though, so that's what I recommend. Any questions?
Thank you. All right, at each group now. Ready, set, go. Good, let's use the process. It makes a lot of sense. Thank Eric. Thank David. Equal opportunity in the presentations of the discussion. So do we have someone who would agree to go first? David and Linda. We've got this group first, this group second.
You can smack him.
All right, David Wing.
We had a rich discussion, fruitful discussion. And it was messy.
That was mentioned over here, too. Pretty messy.
I'm trying to keep it that way. So pulling stuff out of that, this is kind of what I got. I'm going to ask any of the group members to chime in if they want to correct me, add something, take away something, or whatever. But I guess I went back to just, as I look at this project, the vision statement for it was for us to come up with a plan using the benchmarks for reflection and goal setting. So that as we look at various groups, district and departments do that at some point, and that'll be on the timeline. We'll have principals and sites, principal leadership teams use the benchmarks, analyze them, reflect on them, use them to come up with goals, and so forth. At some point, we will have teachers do that. At some point, you know, students will need to make goals. Those are kind of farther out in the future. And we need to do this, and I knew when I got on this committee that this was the timeline group was going to be, that we were going to have very little time to work on, because we've got to come up with a plan for to present the principals on at the end of May. They're having a meeting on 5/31. So that's our vision for what we need to accomplish. And in order to do that, we're going to have to meet like tomorrow, right? And get going on this. Our deliverables, the desired results of this, is to come up with a protocol for presenting this to principals as the first group that we're rolling this out to on May 31st. We are coming up with a process for principal leadership team to reflect upon the benchmarks and come up with goals, and our vision is for them to be able to integrate that into their goal setting process for next year. And so that we're not doing something that's different from what they've already done. They're just adding a reflection piece using the benchmarks as a way to guide their goal setting process. To do that, we would have to modify the current template and integrate it with the Western States benchmarking, which two of our administrators for, who work closely with that, are going to be leading the charge on. And then we're going to have to come up with a similar process for district directors and how they can reflect on the benchmarks and use them in their goal setting process. So those are the kind of four deliverables. Most of our conversation focused around our most immediate goal, which was having principals and leadership teams use the benchmark in their meeting at the end of next month. And we had really rich discussions about, you know, how is this a benefit to them? How will it focus them on what they're doing at their schools? How will it make their goal setting process easier, or at least more focused and more effective in how they are using their resources? And what else do you have to add?
No, you did great. We have a variety of papers. You know, messy is also papers and technology. We had from last year the goal template that our principals used. And so this, David referred to some of our stuff for the last meeting as artifacts. And it was good, because I didn't see it as prehistoric, you know, artifacts. That the template that we've used, and every year we change the direction, but there were some significant pieces added this year with the four strategic areas at least being mentioned. Our mid-year goal review, which is another piece, had some guiding questions. So we talked about taking and reflecting early in May with our principals before their standardized data came back on how did the action plan, how did it actually work, and how do you know? How do you know that was working with respect to some of the guiding questions? We have something that we played with a couple of years ago to lock that in. Those two pieces will set the goals for the year along with district goals with the professional development plan that will not be created first, but created afterwards. And then by the end, each principal should have a sheet of paper like this, along with a portfolio that will be electronic, and that, so that, that will flow into that, and then hopefully in 10 years this will be an artifact. And we'll say, let's look it up here. We'll start with what has a role. But it'll start leading all of those pieces and moving it together. That it's trying to make everything that we say connect, everything actually connect. So instead of a 10-year plan, we have about a 10-hour plan. And then we have about a 10-week plan that's there for our timeline. And then if that all works well, we should be able to launch. Right?
Other comments from group members?
Well, and we also realize that our secretaries and that they're really unaware of what we're doing totally. They will no longer be able to right.
Are there questions, comments, items of clarification from anyone else about what David and Linda said? All right, our group right here.
Whoa, I stand up and I come down.
Are you guys going to help me? Our group, we were going 100 miles an hour or more. We're going to roll this out next week, Larry. So electronic portfolios will be ready to go. We can get going by end of year, students, staff members. And then, didn't you say he could commit a couple
programmers? And probably most of it, I am.
I'll have the system ready
if
you have the content ready.
We almost do.
I think we got, it was amazing. And you'll see from this little diagram, we did some brainstorming here. But for the most part, and I don't have the project in front of me. Do you have it? Okay.
It's not reflecting mine. Sean, do you want to switch it over to the laptop in the floor?
Yeah. Well, are you broadcasting? Are you sending the signal on that? Mm-hmm. No, on FNFA?
Oh.
There it is. There's our ideas.
What's the matter with you people?
We're messed up, man. As Dr. Tom said, you know, everything goes, let's lay it all out. And everyone did. We talked a lot about student portfolios, teacher portfolios, administrative portfolios. How do we do that? Where do we go with it? What will it look like? What will be the format? There's a lot of ideas, but the thing that we have to keep coming back to is this is going to take time. This isn't something we're going to be rolling out right away. So it's really going to take some time. We're looking at basically administrators learning how to use that format of the four strategic areas, getting their goals in, and then developing a simplistic link to some evidence that can be scanned in. We're trying to figure out the format, but it's going to take some time. What we have here is our description by the year 2016, all constituents. And we're talking everyone from bus drivers, transportation, mechanics. All constituents in the Peoria Unified School District will have an electronic portfolio documenting personal growth. And then our desired results, we want, and we separated these because we want to take them a step at a time. Administrators, teachers, staff, students, the desired result of having portfolios published. That means when we have our goal reviews, we can have that. We can have student-led conferences with parents sitting there listening to and seeing their child's portfolio. And just imagine as the years go on from a kindergarten student on up, and we're looking at using this for individual growth. And all of these things here align with what we're trying to do. But just imagine, if you will, that at Vistancia, Leslie has agreed to try to pilot some of this as a new school. They won't know any different. We're going to start with electronic portfolios. And so she's going to look at kindergarten, maybe first, second, maybe up to third. And I'm going to talk to a couple of my teachers just to start talking about that. We're trying to get away from the idea of portfolio, because when you think of portfolio, you think of something like this. Teachers, when you talk to teachers, when you speak to parents, when you speak to kids, if we can show a simplistic form of, here is what I want to do in capacity development, and that may be lesson planning. I click it, I show some lesson plans that I've done in my school. Something very simple that we can show people. So we're going to try to come up with models for people so they don't get freaked out when they hear the word portfolio and think it's going to look like this. We even talked about clays and how clays with teachers could actually become the electronic portfolio. That could be part of it. So instead of having those 3, 4, 5 binders that teachers go through, some of that could be incorporated into their clays. But that is something that we will be taking one step at a time through this whole process, beginning with the model, the format, and working with the ministers.
What's a clay, Mark?
Good question. Clay is career ladders for teachers, and hopefully we'll have that in the future.
We need to
Yes.
It's a performance-based program, voluntary, that teachers can get extra pay if they do what's required, and it's assessed, and then they qualify, they get more money.
But clay,
clay refers to the documentation, in essence, that they have to show that they have made progress and their students have shown growth.
And do they do that every year, or is
they have to do it every year?
Right.
You can volunteer.
Yeah. Volunteer.
And it's really a portfolio of their work, but it's all paper, and they have evidence of units that they've done throughout the year, and that's part of the career ladder. Well, that could be incorporated into electronic portfolio. Sean over here has been trying to think, well, how are we going to do this? The links, we just take it for granted that you can just link something and it'll show up. And Sean's going through this whole process trying to figure out how this is going to work. And we just keep coming back to the fact that this is a process. It's a step-by-step procedure. We have time. It's not something we're going to roll out right away. So anything else, guys, that can think of?
We talked about presenting it, not the word growth over time, to show that students have made progress over time instead of dwelling on the word portfolio as much, but talking about, you know, showing a student's growth.
And I think also for us, the reason why we started the direction that we did is because we feel very strongly that a teacher cannot begin to help a student understand that growth over time process and the whole idea of a portfolio unless they've experienced doing it themselves. And an administrator is in the same position. So as the leader of the school, the administrator goes through the process. It starts here at the district office, which you have already begun. And then we have an entire community of people who believe in that concept of growth over time.
And we even talked about the fact that when we talk about portfolios, every person having one and it's showing growth over time, we really talked about the individual. In whatever year that is, it might start off as simple as, here is a goal template that we're going to use at a certain level or a certain sophistication. It may be that simple to start with as we start introducing it to whatever grade level, to whatever staff level that we do this at. But the whole idea is the time factor.
And Dave had a great comment that I thought was real relevant. We are really the kindergarten students of this portfolio. We're the ones that are really going to keep it very simple, and as administrators, that's how it's going to start out, is how do we keep this so that we can learn, grow, and make sure that it's always connected to, because that's the whole purpose of the portfolio, is everyone is connected back to the mission, vision, and value statement of Peoria Unified School District. That's the whole purpose. So that we are all connected and have that common language from students, parents, teachers, and administrators. Anything else? Okay.
Questions, comments, clarifications from anyone else in the group? All right.
You can keep that up for us. We have ours all on
the website.
Okay.
I gave you 3 hours.
We would, but Sean's
slacking. Oh, Sean, come on.
Slacking.
We show you the website, but Sean's slacking.
Yeah, they're just jealous that Laura, that Valerie thought of it.
We found that I'm plugging
it, so she
saw that first diagram, and we were like,
I didn't want to show that for what the record.
Listen to that one.
Really, with Valerie on your group, we knew that you were going to have some technology.
Well, that we had Valerie and we had Sean, too. Sean was coming from the other end, whatever they talk about. Well, how about this? Well, let's see. Let me think of how to that product and blah, blah, blah.
Okay, I want to thank Beth, Carol, and Mary for being on our team. Three parents that joined us this morning, and certainly they gave us a certainly different look at what we're trying to accomplish. And we had to start out with a little bit more in the area of defining things, and it gave me greater insight that if we're truly going to inform all of our stakeholders, we've got a lot of work to do, and we have to identify all those stakeholders and realize they're all at different levels. So that's kind of where our group started out. But we had a great discussion. I think that the David, your project management kept us focused. And we did get through the first page of it, and I think we did well. And I'll share those results with you. We did establish a vision that reads something like this, but with my group, I know it's subject to change. I went to the bathroom, and it was changed again. And they were all laughing at me. You leave, we change. But the vision, as it stands right now, is to establish and implement a system to collect and share with all stakeholders the PUSD benchmarking information. And we feel that's what we are charged with. So we did create a vision. We did take it through the SMART system on the project management. We felt that it was all those things, specific, measurable, and time dimension, all that stuff. I can. We also talked about when we said that by fall of 06, this fall, we want to have this information system for at least sharing in the emerging stage so that there will be something. We've already talked to Sean, and one of our ideas is immediately we're going to try to get something up on the portal that we can all put on our information from today's meeting so that we all can look at each other's work immediately and start sharing the work we did today. And then where, we felt our where was really with whom, and that's with all our stakeholders. If we're out to everyone, then that's where our where has to be with the information. We also brainstormed a list of desired results, and I know there will be more, but these are the ones we came up with today. Defining all the vocabulary and all the goals that are related to the benchmarking. Create a website portal. Establish and create and convey value in what we're doing. Evidence of success, a list of measurable successes within the district. We want to create that. We want to make contact with all of our stakeholders and create surveys and have a public awareness campaign. We want to establish a system to collect and to share the information. We want to define all our stakeholders. We need to train all of our stakeholders. And then we have to create some type of review or support team. We think that the support team sounds a lot better, similar to you guys' portfolio has that connotation to it. We want a support team. And then establish update team. I'm not sure what that is. So I'll skip over it.
Yeah.
We also have one of the questions on the project management says, how does this support the district initiatives? Well, as a district, the board has approved adopted the four strategic areas. And our area of community connectedness is a part of this adoption and part of the plan, so we think it certainly has an alignment. And then we've established our next meeting date, which will be May 16th at 9 o'clock. So we're pretty proud of the work we did, and we know there's a lot of work to do. Any questions?
I want to know that update team.
This is a very technical term, update team. That's a group, it's not just that we're going to collect the information and establish a repository. It has to be ongoing, and we have to make sure that it's up to date with what's happening in our world at PUSD. So there will be a team or a group of people that would be the update team.
And the last thing I'll share is I want to know throughout the whole process, can the teams be up for like free agency, transfer?
Do they have jerseys or t-shirts or what?
They want some trade.
Trade, yeah.
You know who they're going to trade.
There we are. Very good. The data-driven decision-making, Connie's group.
Okay. Like I stated as we first began our morning, we needed to wait to hear what all of you said, really to reflect on the charge of our particular group and the direction we're going in. I want to thank Karen and Larry both, because we talked about a lot of things, and yes, certainly messy and sloppy all over the place, but purposeful in our discussions. And I agree, having a parent with us, and Karen also works in the district, but still having that idea of, you know, what does that term mean? How does this fit in? Doing what we need to do to inform. And that's where one thing that Larry shared with us, and that just kind of generated a whole list of other discussions, is the acronym KPI. Anybody know what that is?
Key Point Indicators. Close!
Key Performance Indicators. And
close.
Very close. Larry brought that to us because recently, and he could, you know, obviously speak for himself a little bit more in depth, but what he shared with us is that he was a part of some training and is now realizing that key indicators, performance indicators, is a term that's being used in the business sector. And looking at what are the key performance indicators? And we said that our group, if we look at what is the goal or the vision of this particular group, and again, thank you for the format, monitoring progress. That's what our group is charged with, monitoring the progress as a district, but also, I would imagine, determining ways for each individual department, each individual school, to monitor their progress with regard to the key indicators, saying to us, the benchmarks, whatever we want to call them, where are we and how are we doing? Now, the data that will be collected in the portfolios, well, what's going to be in the portfolio? Well, that is yet to be determined, because this group has to talk about, okay, well, what are those things? Each group has to have a piece of this. And we said, what are the desired results? Well, we hope that we end up with the key performance indicators, the main things that will push forward, we believe, the vision, mission, and values, because that is what we're all about, is making sure that we are following through on what we said our vision is, every child, every day, prepare to meet tomorrow. So that's the anchor. That's what everything is tied to. And we need to report the data in a meaningful way that will cause reflections, will cause people to drill down, and Larry was talking about that, to drill down to take a look at where we are with regard to the progress and why are we here in this area and here in this area and over there. We have to be able to have a process that will cause us to drill down. We have to move forward the mission, vision, and values, and that we have to keep coming back to that. And what we're hoping is that, how does this project support the strategic initiatives of our organization? Our thought is it'll bring alignment and provide data and information that's meaningful to all the different groups, constituents, as you put it. Another thing that kind of helped give us a visual, Valeria was talking about, is consider a dashboard, like dashboard of a car or of a dashboard in the cockpit of a jet airplane. There's all these different indicators, all these different measurements that say, okay, do you have enough oil? What's the pressure? And you know where you are with regard to that. That gauge tells you, well, how much gas do you have? Are you, you know, halfway, whatever the case might be? We would then say the key performance indicators, you would label them, and then that would be our dashboard of those are the indicators. And then where are we with regard to the indicators? We felt that as a district, at the district level, we could use the terminology of are we emergent, you know, to exemplar. But how meaningful is that scale for, as I think you guys were saying, the mechanic at the bus barn? For them, their key performance indicators that they select, that they put on the dashboard, have to eventually align to the overall district. But then, what would be more meaningful for them? Well, that's where you have to maybe get into more of the quantitative. Well, 80%, 20%, 50%. On a scale of 1 to 5, something that's more tangible, more quantitative. Though that data then would be taken and put into a system for reporting out that then would say, okay, based on all of these departments, we feel as a district we are at the island stage, or we are at the exemplar stage. We felt too that, and it sounds like the advisory group, the chair people have to get together, I think, and meet before May, whatever your date is, because we have to talk a little bit further. All of us were trying to take, from the western states, we've gotten it down to this document. And now we have to take this document, and we feel like before we can do anything, we have to take this document and identify what are the key performance indicators in each of the four areas. Community connectedness, data-driven. We have to now say which of all of these, because this could be extremely overwhelming, and I could be collecting a whole bunch of data in my portfolio that ends up not showing anything if I don't have a clear direction or path. So we feel like we have to now take this document, break it down, find the key performance indicators as a district. Now, we're thinking, we have to think, our group is saying we have to think more global. And then the group can meet to determine for the principals, okay, now we've narrowed it down to here. Now, the principal group, this is what you will need to use as you guide and make goals up for your school, and that they end up on the format that Linda was sharing will be cute and cutesy in 10 years maybe, because it's an artifact of where we were. But we have to have a starting place. So we feel like before we can go much further, this is that slow down a little bit piece. We need to take a look at what are the key performance indicators. Karen, anything you want to add to? Questions?
Okay. Thank you, Connie. Sean is going to talk for just a couple minutes about the concept of portals for sharing information. Came up in our group here, came up in their group here. So he's going to talk a little bit about what this might look like and how this could happen, if you would, Sean.
Thanks.
Buy lunch later.
No question about it.
Sean, he clapped, we're all laughing.
Nothing's changed. When Dr. McKenzie sent out the agenda a couple days ago, the first thing I thought was, I don't ever remember this being any part of the website. So I almost emailed him back and said, this needs a web presence, but I decided to sit on it until today. And at our first break, I walked up to Dr. Mack and said, I think this needs a web presence. He said, I agree. Obviously, I think everybody else in this room agrees it needs to have a web presence. So what I'm going to go back and do is create a web presence for it. And it'll be a two-part presence. Part of it will be for public consumption. What does this committee want to share with the world as we see it, as we know it? The other side of it will be team sites, and I will develop out four team sites for this group, and I might even make a fifth one for the advisory group. And I'll let Dr. McKenzie send out the link when I get it all built out. But what I'll do is put everybody into it so you have access to it. I have a couple challenges with our community members. Because everything is password protected in some of these locations, I've got to figure out how to make that happen, and the boss and I can have that discussion offline. But we'll get that resolved as well. So the idea is to put I like to use the term sandbox, an area for us to play and work in, communicate, collaborate, etc. Once all of that happens, everything's fleshed out, and we have a document or a set of documents that we are ready to share with the world, that can be transferred over to the main public site for this group to share information with. I know the group back here has talked about how to communicate. I have a lot of ideas. Fortunately, Jim and I have had numerous conversations about those ideas, so I'm sure he shared those with you as to how some of that information can be brought out to the world. So then those all can come out in later meetings as well. But moving forward, we've got to have a place to play, a place to communicate and collaborate. So I'll get those built out, and I'll send that information to Dr. Mack so he can disseminate it out to the group. So, there are probably going to be some points in time where you'll have some questions on, okay, cool, Wheeler, I got here, now what do I do? And at that point in time, be an outstanding opportunity to do some in-servicing. It may have to happen one-on-one. It may have to happen over the phone. Whatever works out best at that point in time, pick up the phone, give us a call, and we can take care of it from there. So, anything else?
No, thanks, John. I think that would be extremely helpful. A couple of things before we wrap it up. I want to thank Eric for coming forward and suggesting we use project management tools. I think it's been helpful and effective, and to use it at the beginning was very good. And David for his leadership and his explanation to the group. As if you, and I think most of the people did fill some things out in here, there's probably something you could put on the portal. If you want to get it to me, we can make sure that happens, but however you want to process that would be good. Everyone here is very important, but I would like to ask the parents who are here today to stand up. Just kind of stand up where you're at, all as a group. Thank you for being here, for participating. We are looking for 4 to 5 more parents. As you know, we will add some students and teachers, classified staff, more classified staff, as we proceed with the group, so that we have a variety of groups participating. I want to do a closing reading from Margaret Wheatley, shorter than what the opening reading was, and then I'm going to ask you all to engage in an activity, brief activity. Some of you have engaged in this before, but I find it to be meaningful. And this again is from Margaret Wheatley, and it's about the simplicity of human conversation. To advocate human conversation as the means to restore hope to the future is as simple as I can get. But I've seen that there is no more powerful way to initiate significant change than to convene a conversation. When a community of people discovers that they share a concern, change begins. There is no power equal to a community discovering what it cares about. And that's what you folks were engaged in this morning. You started again, as I said, the second phase of this process. And what I saw and observed was quite powerful. So thank you for that. The last activity, I'm going to ask you all to stand up. Some of you, just stand up where you are, will recognize this. Because of the importance of all of us being here, and the human technology that each of you brings, which means your whole personality and your whole psyche, every person here has some really special skills that they bring to the work that you do every day, the lives that you live every day, and to this particular process. So I'm going to ask you to think about all the special qualities that you have as a person. And then I'm going to ask you to isolate one quality in your mind that you believe is going to help you assist the work of the district and the work of this particular committee. And then we're going to go around and I'm going to ask you to share it. I'm not going to ask you to explain it. We would be here till 2:30 or 3 if we did that, and we don't need that. I'm just going to ask you to provide that particular word of that quality that you feel that you bring to this particular group. And if I was asked to do this in relationship to this, I would say that I'm a caring person and I care about each of you and your ideas and your thoughts. I probably said too much. I'm a caring person is what we're looking for.